Hi, everybody. We're here back again to talk about more My Hero Academia here on Anime FMK. Boku no Hero Academia, if you're the worst.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Whenever I see people refer to BNHA, I just want to be like, oh, MHA, yeah.
Yeah, no, I do it every time. Every time I see BNHA, I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I have been watching My Hero. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, it's even in the freaking, the Japanese.
Okay. Also, just as an indication for how much I like My Hero stuff, my Facebook account is rarely me being, like, nerdy and stuff. It is usually just me doing, like, genuine updates for friends and family. But since My Hero is coming to Cartoon Network, I found a YouTube video of the trailer for it, the actual Toonami bumper for it. Yeah. And I was just like, hey, one of the best animated shows in a really long time is coming to Cartoon Network. If you have a chance, you should probably check it out. Just like throwing that up there because I'm like, this is good enough for me to be like, this is outside of my, only my nerd friends will really like this. I'm just like, I think people will like this series. Yeah. So you should probably see it.
There's a lot of avenues through which, do you like superheroes? Hey, there you go. Do you just like really good animated shows, whether they're anime or not?
Good animated stuff, good coming of age stories, superhero stuff. It's kind of got stuff for a lot of people.
Or if you're a dirty weeb, you could like it on that level. It's fine.
Or do you like watching a 14-year-old cry a lot all of the time?
How do you feel about 14-year-olds in their bathing suit at the pool?
All right, you can also see that.
But let's see what we see here in episode 42 of My Hero Academia, in which Eraserhead squares off against Frankenface, Tiger and the brunette pussycat, whose name I will not remember, fight Lizardman and Guy with Big Lips, and Icy Hot and Bakugo come across this weird Hellraiser-looking motherfucker. Deku goes searching for Small Boy, who's being attacked by Muscle Man, who turns out to be the villain who killed Small Boy's parents, because of course. Deku gets his ass kicked until Small Boy splashes Muscle Man with a small amount of water, which inspires Deku so much that he forgets what percentages mean and punches Muscle Man really, really hard.
Your synopses are brilliant.
By the way, it's weird when you, like, it's accurate. When you say episode 42, and I'm like, this is the third episode of the season. I keep thinking in my mind, I'm like, no, Scott.
Oh, but it's the fourth. What about episode 39, Scott?
Did you know that Funimation has not dubbed that episode?
Because actually, they just did, apparently.
Okay, they finally.
It apparently got dubbed.
Okay.
Finally, everybody who jumped in and on at the third last. Season can finally stop being confused.
Because I saw them tweet about it.
Actually, one of my friends was complaining, like, "Yeah, I can't start watching. Why? Because they haven't started dubbing it." I'm like, "What do you mean? Episode 39 isn't dubbed. Check 40. What did they skip 39? Japanese. The Japanese.
Because 39 is bad.
Also, I also told him, like, look, you cannot watch 39 and be fine.
Not miss a beat.
So
you know, back in the day, when Dragon Ball Z was coming out on Toonami, they skipped an episode, and they skipped it on the home video, which at the time was VHS release too. Yeah. You could only get it by buying a certain number of Burger King Kids Club meals and sending in your proofs of purchase, and they would mail you a VHS like promotional with this missing episode. And so my friend and I were like,
"Well, we gotta get it.
We gotta get it." And then it came, and we realized why they skipped it, because it was a filler episode. It was the one where Piccolo and Goku learned to drive cars, and it was worth everything.
Yeah, no, I couldn't believe they did that. Yep. It blew my mind that, oh my God, the only way I can get this is by getting Burger King. Yep. Of course, I was also like 11 and okay with that, so...
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to eat slightly more Burger King for a week or two.
Whoops.
You wouldn't believe what I did when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie came out, and they had the six figures that you could get from McDonald's. I was a nightmare to my parents. I was like, no, we gotta get McDonald's. We gotta get Happy Meal. I gotta get all those figures. And you know what? I never did, because you could not get the White Ranger. He was like the most limited one, and
super rare.
I had so many Yellow Rangers.
Yeah, with the Burger King thing. You also did get the little like character statues. They weren't quite action figures.
They were like the little gray ones, right? Like the pewter finish. I think they're supposed to look like.
And I got so many Krillins and Vegetas, and all I wanted was a Piccolo because he was my favorite.
The only one I got was Goku. Don't know why I only limited myself to one, but that was the one I got. And I was like, man, I don't even really like Goku. I wish I got Vegeta. Instead of go back to Burger King, it was, well, I guess I live with Goku now.
I went to McDonald's all the time whenever they were doing the Inspector Gadget thing where you could build him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
So My Hero Academia episode 42 introduces us more properly to the League of Villains.
Yeah.
Or at least this special Vanguard Ginyu Force of the League of Villains.
And I love these guys. I personally, like, so far, it, like, they've got, I like Mr. Lizard Dude with his sword made of swords.
Which also, I thought something about his design looked familiar, but I didn't think about it. But he's like, remember, we've got to uphold the things that Stain taught us. Mm-hmm. And then I suddenly realize he's got the band, the headband, he's got, like, kind of the flowing scarf thing, and he's got all the blades. And I was like, that's it, he's Stain. Okay, now I see. He's just Turtle Stain Man.
Yeah, Lizard Stain Dude.
Spinner, I think he said his name
was? Yeah, Spinner. I love his design. I love the fact that he's a Stain fanboy, and I love his sword made of swords.
Of this mini Ginyu Force, actually, it's much bigger because it's 10 members, I think, or 7 or something. I think he looks the most generic and likely to never be seen after this arc to me. Everyone else in the crew, I'm like, they could bring this person back, and they probably got more to do. He, I think, feels like a, you'll see this guy here, and he'll be defeated, and then we just won't talk about him anymore.
Well,
something about his design just looks very one shot to me.
Well, then you also have Big Sis with the freaking, I don't know, what the thing they're holding.
The pillar?
That pillar that kind of can pull people in. By the way, trans woman.
Ah, okay.
They had true trans characters fighting each other. I thought that was kind of funny.
You can't have a cis character beating up a trans character. That's problematic.
Oh,
that's why you got to pair them up and make them fight each other.
It's all about politics.
Well, I just find it funny because I keep calling him Big Sis. I keep calling her good. Big Sis. But yeah, she looks like a... You've seen enough Hunter x Hunter to agree. Looks like a Togashi character.
Yes, very much so.
The moment I saw them, I'm like, what?
Moral, but bigger lips.
Yeah, a little bit. And they're dressed in like, they're dressed in the way I dress on occasion. I'm like, what in the world is this character? We also have the Nazi looking, like SS looking dude. Running around. And then we have the Valdo, like the Hellraiser looking motherfucker.
Yeah. That was creepy. Yeah. It hasn't really done anything yet, but real creepy.
I mean, jumping ahead a little bit, we see him chewing what looks like on someone's hand. Yep. And I don't, do they tell us, give us any indication whose hand that is? Because Bakugo says, who was ahead of us? And they say Tokuyomi and another character. And I'm like, I really hope that's not Tokuyomi's hand and that guy's just dead because I love that dude.
It was Tokuyomi. That guy who can make eyes and arms.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
That might have been his hand. But, yeah, that Hellraiser dude's chewing on somebody and lots of blood. But then they also cut to, I haven't heard anything from, not Pixie Bob, the Ragdoll.
The green-haired one.
Yeah, where she's at. And they go, I wonder what could have happened to her. And then it just cuts to a big old, like, splatter of blood.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, have these guys like really killed some people already? Like, I wouldn't put it past the show, but man, that's really jumping in there feet first, which is, all right, you introduce these characters and now they're dead.
Yeah, I won't lie to you. This is actually way darker than I remembered. and it's a great entrance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually really happy with this entrance of the, it's Vanguard of characters. I'm really happy with this. We also get to meet Muscular, who's a guy who just grows muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he's just kind of crazy. Just kind of really crazy.
I like that he comes up wearing like his intimidating costume or whatever. Mm. He's like, hey kid, nice hat. You want to trade? I got this stupid mask because they said they were out of cool costumes. Glad it wasn't some sort of like, I wear this mask to block my brain from my muscles or something stupid.
But, Grant, before we started recording, you were saying that you felt like you should be taking notes because every week you come in, it's like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I shouldn't be taking notes because I feel like this is the kind of show that I might be enjoying more if I didn't have to try and keep track, if I just let it. Because there are so many characters running around doing so much stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I gotta be honest, I have a hard time keeping track of who's who and why I should care.
Yeah, that's a little fair. Bit.
In this episode, Tetsutetsu.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, it's weird that Tetsutetsu, like, is coming back a little bit. I'm wondering why the mangaka likes this guy so much when he's already got Kirishima.
Yeah.
Then again, he's desperate to give Team B something to do here.
Which, that excites me. I kind of hope that's a sign for where things are going. Which, like, because he, you know, brings up the good point. We're all taking the same classes. We all had to take the same test to get into the same school. But everyone looks at Class A as, like, these great guys, and we're just there in the shadows. Why is that? It's because shit keeps happening to them. And you know what? Shit's happening to us, and your best option is to run away. That's not what Class A does, and everybody loves them. So I'm standing ground. I'm going to fight.
Yeah, it is kind of this interesting point of, like, we have to do, like, if we're ever going to be as good as they are, we have to literally put our lives in danger in the worst possible manner. I'm like,
I mean, that's stupid, I but guess? You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't wind up with the whole lesson that they learn out of that is, oh, we, is them getting punished for their hubris. Because that seems boring to me. That seems like something that I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have no way of knowing that you're not the main characters of this story, but because you're not the main characters, we're going to...
It gets you killed.
Yep. The narrative is going to apply a double standard to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of double standard real quick, the flunkies of Class A and the one of Class B are, you know, absent from this because they have to take night classes with Vlad and Eraserhead.
Eraserhead. Yeah.
Okay, I always want to throw head on there, and I'm never sure about it.
I usually just call him Aizawa.
Okay, but they get the distress call from the psychic kitty, and she's like, "Hey, there's villains. We all need to regroup because things are going bad." And so Eraserhead's like, "All right, I'm gonna head out there and see what's up. You guys stay here." Walks outside. Vlad, Mr. Frankenface, is there, and just like, "Oh, hey, by the way, I'm here too." Boom, and just blows him up because he's distracted, and I didn't think about it because I was like, Eraserhead seems to have a really good power, and that's a good way to neutralize literally any threat. So, yeah, catching him off guard is kind of the only way you take that guy out of the equation. So yeah. I'm glad they showed that to...
Unless you have a quirk that just straight up affects your physical capabilities in a... Unless you've got a passive, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He can't erase dude with tail's tail.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also can't turn Invisible Girl visible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... Dobby is actually just really kind of cool in design, and the way they've been using him so far is really effective.
I feel like he's going to be the edgelord villain of the year. I think all the kids in high school who are angsty and need some guy to... some angry, scary-looking man to look up to, I think he's going to be the top pick this year. He'd be in my edgelord draft pick for sure, number one with a bullet. But... Deku, he's the one who goes like, "Hey, I know I'm supposed to run off with the rest of the guys to regroup, but I think I'm the only one who knows where Coda is, so I'm going to go check on him and make sure everything's fine."
So rather than say, "Hey, that's where Coda is," no, I need to go.
I'm going
to
go, because I know exactly where it is.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, yeah, why didn't he say, "By the way, Coda's up there, I'm going to go get him, if I, like, maybe send someone else?"
Or at least somebody else to, like, go with him and back him up. Like, I could, if you want to fan wank it, I could see the explanation being, well, you gotta, in this very tense situation, telling somebody else, yeah, so you go left there and then right at the old tree and then go uphill, but if you see this thing, you've gone too far.
Also, the Pussycat Girls, like, own this property or whatever, so I feel like you could be like, "You know that big cave that's on that hill? He's there."
Yeah,
that would probably be a familiar territory for them.
Fair,
but I'm willing to completely forgo that. I feel like that's a nitpick in terms of storytelling. I feel like by and large, you can totally get away with the fact that it was a tense situation. He was in a hurry.
Yeah.
He rushes up there.
Yeah. I mean, when you add that on top of, and then when he gets there, oh no, my cell phone's broken. I can't call for backup.
Yeah,
it's kind of coincidence on coincidence to create this situation where he's the only one who can stop Muscly Dude.
And speaking of coincidence, my one, like, criticism of this bit is I think it's just, I know we are watching a cartoon about superpowered people in a, you know, completely different universe where things are crazy and not the way reality works.
Yeah.
But it's just one step too far for me that the League of Villains, this big group of bad guys, decides to pick 7 or 10, however many they ended up deciding on, to go on this exact mission. This one guy coincidentally goes off on his own to go on this mountain to get a vantage point, to look down on the camp, happens to find the one kid who happens to be the child of the two people he murdered. Yep. Like, what the fuck? Like, the number of stars that had to align to make this happen is just... I get that you're trying to get the emotional moment here, but I feel like it actually would have been more meaningful for it to have been just another villain, to not be the one that killed this kid's parents, mm-hmm. and for him to just understand that there are villains in this world who are bad, and that is why heroes are necessary and why they're needed. The fact that we have to tug at the extra heartstring of, this is the villain who ruined your life, is like, well, now it just makes him... It makes this feel too much of a personal story and not give him a broader scope of this hero and villain dynamic.
If he had known and intentionally went for Coda, because he's just crazy or evil.
That could have also been a fine.
Yeah, I would have been okay with that.
I'm going to end your whole bloodline because they took my eye.
Yeah.
Like, fine.
No, great. What a great... No, that would have been a great way to tie it in. They took my eye, so I'm going to kill their fucking kid. He's crazy and insane and a murderer. Yeah, no, I
can
totally get that.
But also, I love the crazy insane where he just goes, yeah, I didn't kill them because I was mad at them taking my eye or something. I wanted to kill people and they wanted to stop me. This was just both of us doing our best at what we wanted to do. And your parents were weak.
Yeah, and that...
Which I think also sells the insane, because he's not like, no, I didn't have a motive, I just did it.
Yeah, and that's better than mine, mm-hmm. but only as its own isolated idea. Mm-hmm. When you also throw it in with the coincidence of the meeting, yeah then it's like, okay, so now...
Or like vice versa, if the kid had found out, oh, this guy over here on the other side of the compound, that's the one, and he had gone after him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
It would have changed that dynamic a lot, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Either way, that stuck out to me as like, this feels like you're... I hate to say it this way because I think the author of this manga and anime has been great, mm-hmm. but that just feels like the most cliche and just obvious like coincidence to have happen, to be like, the villain that's going to make him change his mind is the same one that killed his parents that just happened to be here at this exact moment.
Like, yeah, it's
one step too far for me to be like, okay, come on.
Yeah, I agree. I, like, as a guy who's read the rest of the manga, he never does anything close to that ham-fisted mm-hmm. again. I completely, like, and I also forgot that was the relation, by the way.
Yeah.
When he shows him, like, he's the guy. And I'm like, oh, he was the guy. That was, okay.
It's like, is child in danger not big enough stakes for you? Do we have to throw in? And by the way, he killed his parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the fact that it's this child and he's been kind of an annoying stock character up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of didn't feel the stakes even with all this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay. I'm kind of marking time waiting for the next thing, honestly.
One thing, though, that did raise the stakes for me personally, as a big old apologist and fan of Bakugo, mm-hmm. we get an interesting lore, or like, bit not so much lore drop, but a bit of dropped info here. When Muscular is beating up Deku, he's like, we've been given permission to kill you, but before I do that, I'm looking for someone named Bakugo. Do you know where I can find him? And that makes me real curious about what this whole mission's about, because... Dobby, when he blows the shit out of Eraserhead, is also like, we need you guys to stay out of our way because we're not here for you. So they are here on a mission for something specific, and it apparently involves Bakugo at the very least. And I'm real curious what that's about. If this is going to go is this going to be a Sasuke retrieval arc kind of thing where they're like, we think Bakugo's got the darkness in him and we think we can bring it out? Or is this just, he also seems real good and we want to kill him too? Like, I'm not sure where it's going, but I like that we get a little bit of, we are after him specifically.
Yeah, you know, I didn't quite pick that up. I didn't put those pieces together, and I'm the one who takes notes. Hey. So, see, you're doing just fine.
All right, I made it.
I also like how Muscular is like, oh, so can I take your silence as a no? Good. And I'm like, you didn't. If he'd have said yes, you would have been disappointed.
Great, now I have to try and beat this information out of you instead of just beating you to death, which is what I actually want to do.
Also, I have no idea if he comes back, if he'll be a recurring character or anything, but I feel like this episode he tried really hard to make "show me your blood" his catchphrase, because I think he says it like 5 times in that fight.
But I do like how he says it.
No, it's a good line and a good delivery on it. It's just like, all right, we get it. You want it.
Yep. So, guys, how did you feel about Deku's big silly speeches and 1,000,000% punches?
I'm an easy mark. It worked for me. Like, I am usually the kind of, you can't have more than 100% that defies the definition. But, like, in this scenario, in this case, in this situation, it did end up working for me. I did find the, I'm going to splash water on you. Like, that was a good reveal that the kid had powers. Like, that's cool. But, like, I was personally waiting for it to, like, turn out that he had, like, some super strong power, which would have been another fun cliche to throw in there.
Yeah.
But just be like, all right, I hate superpowers, but it turns out I've got the best one. And, you know, use that to beat my enemy. But I did like that the guy's just like, him throwing water at me distracted me long enough. And then Deku's like, 1,000,000,000%!
Yeah, I'm glad you said forgets what percentages are. Because I'm like, all right, if you'd said, like, 1,000... Like he has his full strength, but then in moments of crisis, he can, like, do it 10 times that. I'd be fine. Million was kind of like, that's not 1,000,000. We've seen what, like, maybe 50 to 75% does, and that blows away buildings. You do 1,000,000, and you knock him into the mountain and create a small crater.
The moon would be gone if you hit him with that much force.
And I'm like, okay. All right, I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, I like the scene. I think the scene works incredibly well, personally. I think the whole build-up, I think the him getting crushed into the ground, him, like, forcing himself up as he moves this hulking mass of muscle off of him worked really well.
Mm.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I think maybe I just need to come to terms with the fact that this show is not going to be as internally consistent as I want it to be, and I need to just approach it on that Dragon Ball level of, oh, turns out power levels are kind of bullshit, so who cares?
Yeah.
But, like, this is something that I noticed in the sports arc, too, which otherwise I really, really liked. But up until that point, it had been pretty consistent about the limitation of Deku's powers.
Yeah.
You know, he beefs up whatever part of his body he's, you know, whether it's one finger or his whole arm or whatever, and then it is unusable until he gets healed up. And then in the sports arc, oh, now he can do it twice, but it's a darker shade of purple.
He's just really hurting it.
You're starting to lose me, and this is where it's kind of like, okay, fuck logic, I'm just here to enjoy the light show.
Well, remember, the idea is that it becomes basically, it's not unusable, but at that point it's just wrecked. He can still do it, but he's putting, like, think of it as, all right, if you do anything beyond this, you can't be healed correctly.
You can still flail around a broken arm and break it further.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because we see him, like, wreck his body over and over, but he gets healed and he's fine. But when he does it too much, we hear from what's her face? The
recovery girl,
like, yeah, you can't keep doing that.
I mean, she makes noises to that effect, but I also haven't seen him being held back by the consequences of these previous injuries.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got scars on that one hand. That's kind of
I mean,
oh no, he's going to look like more of a badass.
Yeah, they haven't.
Oh no, he looks cool. What a shame.
He did say he doesn't have full control over his fingers anymore. Like, he's got limited, and he can't get a surgery for that. They've talked about it, but he's like, I'm not going to do that until I feel like, until I'm comfortable. I feel like I'm in the place where I deserve it, and that's played a lot into that, but they've never had an instance where they could show how that's affecting him in other ways. It's just a visual representation so far of the failures that he's had and how much he wants to improve. So in that regard, I'm glad that it's a visual metaphor more than anything, because I don't need the story hindering upon these small small inconsistencies he has with his movement. That would just, I don't know, be too minute for a show like this.
I mean, it's not going to make this show into bad.
Yeah.
It's not going to make me hate my time watching this show. It's just not as good as I wish it were. Mm-hmm. Because, Yeah, that sort of internal consistency, when you do it really, really well, when you establish your rules and stick to them, I really appreciate that. And I'm sad that this is that's just not the kind of show this is.
You know, you might like you might like Hunter Hunter. Hunter Hunter is like all about...
It does establish rules and gets real serious about them.
Yeah, it's got a almost slavish consistency to them, so...
Quick question. Is Muscular and, I guess, by extension, Deku stronger than All Might now? Because when he punches him, he's like a full power 100%, and the guy blocks it. He's like, that was 100%. That's all of All Might's power. Like, is that something he can just do now? Is that something that he's... Or is he estimating and just going like, that's everything I can do, and I assume that also means what All Might can do?
I'm going under the assumption that Deku's just not as good as he thinks he is at estimating these things, but your guess is as good as mine at this point.
So when it comes to all for One for All, I'm assuming, yeah, that was a full, like, if All Might swung as hard as they could, that might have been what Deku did there. I don't know. But I mean...
Because then he goes further, and I'm just like, well, then... So, but... I mean, I know you called it a 1,000,000%, but does that just mean this is actually 100%? Or do we just not know where 100% is yet?
I think taking those numbers too literally would be as foolish as putting too much stock in power levels in Dragon Ball.
Fair enough.
I think that 100% for Deku is All Might's normal.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Because All Might doesn't use percentages at all.
That's fair.
That's also true. Also, it might have been a thing, like, so I watched this dubbed. What about you?
I also did dubbed.
I've been watching subbed.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, it's consistent then in the sub that he says, you know, that's All Might's strength.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yep.
Because I thought that might be a small inconsistency in the dub, but... Yeah.
Nope, does not seem to be a translation issue. Seems to be about the same across both versions.
Hmm.
Also, he goes Detroit Smash, and then does he say Delaware Detroit Smash? Is
yes.
that the second one? That, okay.
That was
those places aren't near each other to my recollection.
Okay, good to know, because that was also the same in the sub, and I was also kind of like, is that one of those things that they'll change in the dub to make consistent with an American's expectations of what one would know about American
Detroit,
geography?
Michigan Smash.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
I'm fine with it. Yeah, I don't. It's not like it's a problem. It's just, I hear that right?
Deku is also specifically a Japanese person growing up in Japan who may very well just be calling out these place names that sound cool to him.
That's fair.
Listening to Justin Briner scream Detroit Delaware Smash, though, is pretty fantastic. I won't lie to you.
Is this what the American equivalent of Kamehameha, which was like the name of a famous Hawaiian king or something? So it's just hearing these words recontextualized, and now we just have to deal with it being something we recognize.
But guys, let's from 1 to 1,000,000%. How much did you like it? Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and hold up that eggplant, because I've been ragging on a lot of the inconsistencies here. I think that is the limitation of talking episode by episode, is what else are you going to talk about?
Yeah.
It's still big and colorful, and I like it. I hope it gets a little better, but it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving this a Detroit Delaware Smash. although I will give it, I will take a little bit of points off. We didn't talk about this much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this felt like 3 chapters in one episode. They introduce Muscular, and then he beats Muscular in one episode. It's a little rushed for me.
Yeah, a little bit, although I also wouldn't have wanted to see 3 episodes of it.
Yeah.
I could have done 2. I could have done, like, this being 2 episodes. But, you know, that being said, this was a really, really, really cool part in the comic, and it was so cool to see this come out here, so...
Also with the eggplant, I really liked this, you know, the ramp up that this has had. This is kicking off in a way that I really like. While I, you know, complained about coincidences, and yeah, I kind of agree on the consistency stuff, I really enjoyed this. The whole emotional speech and the someday, Coda, you'll find someone and he'll be, and like, and they keep cutting off the sentence even though you know what the rest of the words are. And then finally at the end, he finishes it with like, you're my hero. Like, I'm like, oh man, that got me something fierce. I liked that a whole lot. You really know how to talk just to me, My Hero Academia. And clearly, I'm the only one.
You, actually, you know what? I am a sucker for a good title drop.
Yeah.
And for for even how much as I thought a lot of the speechifying around that moment was a little overwrought, that specific line got me.
Yeah, yeah. And like, and that's real good, and I thought it had like a good build up to it, because, you know, I said at the beginning of this where I was like, I don't really like this Coda guy. I think it's kind of bullshit that we're going to have this kid who's obviously at least somewhere at some point in this arc going to be like, heroes are pretty cool. I get it now, which is obviously where this is going. Yeah. That the way they did it was tasteful enough that I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read it, this... See, it did not hit me as emotionally as it could probably for the two of you, because I knew about this moment. But it was done very well in the moment that it was done.
Also, that last shot of Deckard just screaming in pain is real good.
Yeah, that is such a good shot. Yeah, it's a great scene. It's got some weird nitpicks that, yeah, but it's still, I love this episode. I love this episode. I love this arc. And, yeah.
Yep. Also, one quick concern. The episode before, we see Uraraka and Froppy go into the woods together because they're scared because shit's about to pop off. And then we see creepy, I guess, masochist girl, whatever her power is, kind of slink off after him. We didn't get nothing from them this episode. Oh, so yeah. I hope they're okay.
they're both best girl. They'll be fine.
It'll be a real shame if they're relegated to damsels in distress is my actual fear. Because if that happens, that'll be a huge bummer for me.
I'm not too worried, because Froppy especially has consistently been very competent. Not necessarily like OP handles everything herself, but she's usually in the mix. She's usually not waiting for somebody to come rescue her.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see more next week. Thank you for joining us, Grant.
Thank you for having me.
And those of you on Twitch, stick around, because we're going to be doing some switcheroos and calling some biddy-doos, and then we're going to jump into the regular 10 series lineup.
Hopefully less than that by the time we're done.
Oh, yeah. No, not even hopefully. I can already tell you that one of these is going to die.
Stick around!